What's up, youth services? Pastor Baldwin coming at you. It's been a great week, and I heard some of you guys are locked in there, and you're loving it, and some of you guys are bored to death. Today, I'm going to be able to just share a Easter sermon, and I'm going to try to give you a deeper understanding and appreciation of Christ's work on the cross. That new understanding will affect how you think and how you act to become a stronger Christian. So today, we're going to be looking at a principle that we mentioned last Sunday. And that principle is look back to go forward. So we're going to look at some key words that is going to be hitting us today. We got the Resurrection Sunday. We got the word covenant. And then we got the word blood. So we're going to take it from the Lord's Supper from Luke 22. And right about around Luke 22, we're going to have Jesus preparing for his death, burial, and resurrection. He's going to be talking with his disciples. He's going to be washing their feet while he's going to be betrayed from Judas. So it's really exciting. But we just want to focus on a couple of verses. And that's going to be Luke 22, verse 14 to 20.
When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
All right, let's go back to verse 14, and let's check it out again. Obviously, the guy read, that you should be very familiar with it, because sometimes we'd read it before we take communion on Sundays. But here goes, verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. So throughout the Gospels, we got scripture passages that say over and over again, the time had not come, or the fact that it wasn't the hour yet. And then, bam, everything that the Old Testament points to is about to happen, the climactic event of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And just before that, his Last Supper with his disciples. So you will notice that it says apostles because these guys have been trained up. They're apostles now, and that word means, again, sent ones. Verse 15, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, we're going to have to connect the dots because, again, this is just a little bit of a review. What's the Passover? The Passover was when Moses led the people of Israel out of the clutches of Pharaoh, as all of them were slaves. And God's people need to be freed from slavery so that they could be the light to the world. You will notice that this last meal with the disciples is not an ordinary Passover meal. It is pregnant with meaning, with signposts, symbolism, foreshadowing, fulfillment of scripture, and the like. So, okay, let's go to verse 16. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink it again from the fruit of the vine into the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So first of all, you're going to have signposts. And that signpost is Jesus telling them that something is coming ahead. What's coming? The Son of God is going to die. The most unimaginable thing in all of history, God coming to earth and then dying. Why? Dying for the sins of mankind. All right, then we got symbolism. You got a lamb and signifying that Jesus is the Lamb of God. You got bread symbolizing Jesus' body. You got wine symbolizing the blood that would be shed. Then you got foreshadow. The Israelites will be delivered from slavery back in the Passover days. And then Jesus delivers them from spiritual slavery. Because we all know that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, which is eternal separation from God. Then you have the fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus had to match every prophetic word, which there are hundreds of them, and he had to do everything to accomplish what God needed him to do. So that this is going to be so powerful, because he has to, like, every event, every situation, Jesus has to match it. All right, let's look at verse 20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Now wait a minute. I got so many questions. First of all, what is the old covenant? Why do we need the old covenant? Why do we need a new one? What is covenant? When did God first make a covenant with Israel? Did covenants all involve blood? Why couldn't we use, let's say, olive oil or gold or silver? Why did it have to be blood? Okay, let's take these one at a time. So what was the old covenant? The old covenant was the Mosaic covenant, where God gave the people of Israel the Ten Commandments. And so that happened in Mount Sinai. And the previous chapter in Exodus 19, we have the people of God preparing themselves, washing their clothes, getting all ready and everything. And then Moses receives the Ten Commandments. God writes it on stones, and he comes down with them, and he tells them to the people of Israel. So within those other laws, you have moral laws, civil laws, and ceremonial laws. So if we just look at the Ten Commandments, we see that the first four laws are how we relate to God, and the last six is how man relates to each other. And so bottom line is that we call all these commandments the law. And furthermore, there's more other civil laws and ceremonial laws in like how we worship, how to offer sacrifices, etc. Okay. Now, let's look at why do we need the law? Romans 3:19-20 tells us. Let me read to you. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So, the law, number one, the law exposes sin. Number two, it stops the sinner's mouth from justifying himself. Number three, it helps the world know that they are guilty. And then number four, the law was like a tutor until the professional teacher came. And we get that in Galatians 3:24, which says, "So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith." So in terms of that last point, long story short, it's like the law was like a tutor. And just like a tutor comes, he teaches us. But then later on, the professional teacher comes. And that professional teacher is analogous to Jesus Christ. So the law was just a bridge so that we can have the real thing, which is Jesus. But if I were to summarize it all, the law, we needed the law so that we know what's right and wrong. We needed it. It's super simple. Okay, now let's look at what is a covenant. A covenant is when two or more parties come together to make a contract, agreeing on promises, stipulations, privileges, and responsibilities. So that word covenant, it means to cut. And it goes back to the time when Abraham made a covenant with God, or God made a covenant with Abraham. And long story short, in the book of Genesis, we see that what God does is that he tells Abraham to cut some animals in two, and the Lord passes through those animals. And so what we see is that there is an agreement between the two parties in that anyone who breaks that contract or that covenant will be like one of those animals. So if I could read that to you, if I break my oath, may what has happened to this animal happens to me. So let's look at it again. When did God first make a covenant with Israel? So that happened with the Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham is the father of the Israelites. And through the forefathers came the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. Now, did it always have to involve blood? And the answer is yes, because in the Abrahamic covenant, you have blood. In the Noah covenant, you had like offering of sacrifices with like animals. In the new covenant, you have the Lamb of God, and that involved blood. So why couldn't it be something else? And we in Leviticus 17:11, the answer is right there. Let me read it to you. For the life of the body is in the blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for life that makes purification possible. So that passage tells us that the life of a person is in its blood. And so in order to atone for someone's sins or to cover up someone's sins, they needed to do it with blood. So Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So in other words, in order to atone for sins, a life for a life. So that's why blood was necessary. Now, let me go back a little bit because I might have skipped this earlier. So what we have in the covenant where you have animals being split in two, whatnot, you can see the powerful imagery of this where these two parties are agreeing to the fact that if they break the oath, if they break the promise, therefore, whatever happens to that animal would happen to them. So in other words, you're not going to break a promise because you're afraid that if you break the oath, you're committing to yourself like hardcore death. So that's why these covenants are so powerful. And we're going to see more of this as we answer each of the questions. Okay, now let's look at why do we need a new covenant? What was wrong with the old covenant? Okay, there's five things. Let me just read it to you, okay? Number one, the animal sacrifice could never take away their sins. Hebrews 10:4 tells us, for it is impossible for the blood of the bulls and goats to take away sins. And it's easy to understand because you can't exchange a human being for an animal or vice versa. So that's why the animal sacrifice was never going to be enough. And they only pointed to and foreshadowed some other thing, other person that could actually do it. Number two, the people could not obey the old covenant. The old covenant told them what was wrong and like what was right, but then they failed time and time and time again. Number three, the law couldn't justify them. Four, the law couldn't sanctify them. Five, the law was powerless to save them. So the only thing that the law was good for was that it showed them, it exposes their sin. All right, now let's look at why do we need a new covenant? This is going to be amazing. Just stay with me, okay, guys? Jeremiah 31:31-34.
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord.
I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more.
Did you guys hear that? That is such a powerful passage. Jeremiah is amazing. God speaks to him, and he's going to tell us three important things. And let me just ask the question again. Why do we need a new covenant? Because it's foretold in the Old Testament in Jeremiah's time. And he just read it. It's going to tell us that instead of writing the Ten Commandments on stone, God's going to write it in their hearts. I will, Hebrews 8:10b, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And then the second thing he tells us, instead of worshiping an invisible God, we will know him and be taught by him. So back then, it's all about the Pharisees teaching the people or Moses teaching people. But that was always going to be a little bit not that great, because when Jesus teaches us, that's going to be the most beautiful thing. That's going to be the most powerful thing. Because God is sinless, and he's going to be, whatever he teaches us, he's going to live it out. He's never going to be a hypocrite. And then the third thing, the best thing, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. In other words, we are justified and we are declared righteous. So when Jesus raises from the dead and he says, it is finished. It is like that phrase is pregnant with meaning. It is finished means all the prophetic words are fulfilled in Jesus. Everything that the Old Testament says about the Messiah will be fulfilled in Jesus. So what do we have here? Let me just read to you some the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant leads to death. It kills us, while the New Covenant gives life, according to 2 Corinthians 3:6. The Old Covenant enslaves, while the New Covenant makes man free. He gives us freedom from John 8:32 and 36. The Old Covenant leaves man imperfect, while the New Covenant leaves man perfect, Hebrews 7:19. Number four, the Old Covenant exposes sin, Galatians 3:19, while the New Covenant covers sin, Romans 4:1-8. In the Old Covenant, it's all about living by works, while in the New Covenant, it's living by faith, Galatians 3:10-11. Number six, the Old Covenant is the shadow, Colossians 2:14-17, while the New Covenant is the reality, Hebrews 10:1-18. Number seven, the Old Covenant needed offering for sin, while in the New Covenant, Jesus is the perfect sin offering. Wow. Amazing. Number eight, in the Old Covenant, remembrance of sin was done yearly, while in the New Covenant, forgiveness and washing away of sin was done once and for all. Number nine, the Old Covenant remembers sin, Hebrews 10:3, while the New Covenant does not remember sin, Hebrews 8:12, Hebrews 10:17. And lastly, number 10, the Old Covenant is for the Israelites only, Deuteronomy 4:7-8, while the New Covenant is for all men, Luke 22:20. All right then, so did you guys fully see how we were able to use the application from last Sunday, and that was to look back to go forward? So what we did this morning was that we looked back at Passover to give us a new understanding of the Resurrection Sunday. So what we see is that the Old Covenant is not any good. It helped us, but it was only a bridge for the New Covenant. So the question is, are you in the Old Covenant or are you in the New Covenant? Now, another question. Do you understand the importance of the blood? Do you understand that in order to have atonement for sins, or to make reparations, or to be reconciled by God, you need a perfect blood sacrifice? and animals was not enough. It's you because you can't exchange an animal for a human being. And furthermore, you never had a perfect human being in order to atone for an imperfect human being. And so we had to wait for Jesus. Whew. Praise the Lord. So what we see, to summarize it all, is that the new covenant is better because God writes those laws, those commandments in our hearts. So all we have to do is have faith and to be obedient to Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, this was, I think, a kind of a deep sermon, and we went deep. We went way down there. And Lord, sometimes the application can be a little bit fuzzy, but long story short, God, we need to be a living sacrifice to You. Help us to live for You. Lord, we don't have to do it on our own strength. We rely on Your strength. We have to be not in the old covenant, but in the new covenant. God, give us more revelation. Speak to us. Holy Spirit, convict us of our sins and help us to continue to apply the blood of Jesus into our lives so that we will always be sanctified and renewed day by day. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.